and refuse him as Lord and Master. Oh, there's a lot of people love him as a Savior. But boy, when it comes down to Lord and Master, they're not going to give up nothing to have that great standing. Most Christians and a lot of people today you deal with reminds me of a story I read about. Some parents had an invaluable vase. They'd gone to Europe, and they bought a vase over there that came clear back from the days of the Renaissance, and they paid a great sum for it, some $3,500. Brought it back home. They had a treasure, an art treasure. Boy, they treasured it highly. And a little boy of theirs, he dropped a penny in it. He couldn't get it out. So he kept ringing. It had a small opening in the front up to the top, and he finally got his little old hand down in there and went down in the bottom of it to get that penny. With his hand open, he could get his hand in it. But when he got the penny and grasped the penny, he couldn't get his hand out. He didn't understand what in the world happened. He couldn't get his hand out of that vase, and his mom and daddy couldn't get his hand out. And they worked, and they worked, and they poured oil and greased and everything and tried to get the little boy's hand out. And they were figuring on breaking that vase to get the little boy's hand out of the vase. Finally, his daddy thought one more time, I'm going to tell him what to do. He said, "Now, son, listen to daddy carefully." That's what God says to us. Listen to me carefully. He says, "You open your hand and stretch your fingers out and come up easy with your hand down. We won't have to break mommy's vase." He looked up at his mom and daddy. He says, "Oh, daddy, I can't let my penny go." There he had his penny getting it out, and he wasn't going to turn loose his penny. That's the way a lot of you folks and a lot of other folks I know, you're going to hold on that old penny if we had to break the vase. But you need to listen to the Father. Say, "Hey, let go of your penny. What God's got for you, that's worthless. Oh, I can't give up my penny. I got to hang on my penny." You can't get your hand extricated. A lot of people today, they got something in the world, in their hand, in their hearts, worth about a penny, and they won't let it go and listen to God say, "Son, daughter, please let go. Let go of that old sin in your life. Let go of that old foolishness. Let go of that old habit. Let go of that old pleasure, that old lust you got. Let it go. And I'll clean you and purge you and make you my son and daughter and build you a mansion and say, 'Well done at that time of terrors for other folks.' No, Lord, I can't give up my penny." And you hang on and hang on and hang on until it destroys you. God help us. Acts 3:19, the great apostle Peter cried out. He said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." You're not going to get no sin blotted out until you give them up. Repentance means give them up, quit your sinning. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Give it up. Give it up, the load you're bearing. You can't go on like this with wasted years. It's foolish. Wasting your life with a penny in your hand when God says, "Give it up, and I'll give you something so much better. There's no comparison in it." In 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verses 3 and 4, the great apostle Paul, through the Spirit, says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto" what? "The knowledge of the truth." Jesus said a mouthful when he said, "You know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You can't be free unless you accept the truth, agree with the truth, and live the truth. The truth will make you free from sin. All they say, they said to Jesus, said, "We're Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man." Then Jesus replied, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that committeth sin is a servant or a slave to sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. And if the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed from sin and all of its awful consequences that's described in this day of horrors at the judgment seat of God." Man, I tell you, that day comes, There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. There's a great day coming by and by when God's going to separate the chaff from the wheat, the sinners from the saints, from those that serve Him and those that serve Him not. There will be a division, and there will be a crying on that left-hand side. Oh my God, let the rocks fall on me and hide me from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. I can't stand it. But yet men, women, boys and girls that have rejected Christ and His offer of eternal life will be separated eternally. You'll never see your mom and daddy again. You'll never see that husband and wife again on the right-hand side. You'll never see that preacher again. You'll never hear him preach again. All you'll hear is the same old kind of shrieks and screams that you heard as you stood before that judgment seat, as families were separated. My God, some into everlasting life and some to everlasting damnation in the lake of fire. In the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, beginning in verse 35, Jesus went to Jericho. It was a cursed city, and everybody down there was under a curse. There was a blind man sitting by the wayside begging, the scripture says. And he heard the multitude coming, and he asked what it meant, and they told him, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Man, what an opportunity. A lot of folks missed it in that cursed city. Most people today are under a curse. They don't want to be blessed. They'd rather live a cursed life, have a little fun, have their pleasure, have their self-will, have their own way, and then face God and say, hey, why didn't you do it my way? I told you how you could end up right, and you ended up wrong. You knew it. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God will judge you for that stupidity of sin that you know better. And here was old blind Bartimaeus, and he cried, saying, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, they which went before, they rebuked him, said, hold your peace. That didn't do any good. You can't tell somebody when they want God, they're going to find God. Amen. The reason people don't find God, they don't want to find Amen. The responsibility Amen. To change their ways and live the life of Jesus. That's the reason they don't find Him. They don't want to find Him. The old song we sing sometime, He was there all the time. He was there all the time, standing patiently in line. He was there all the time. Jesus came through Jericho. I don't know but two voices that was raised. It's all the Bible records. The rest heard Him. They liked the crowd, just like Christians do today. Hey, there's a preacher in town. He's got a crowd down there. Oh, my God, we better go see about him. Hey, there's one over here on the other end. No, he don't have a big crowd. Well, must not be much to it. That's the way it goes. Always has been. So, the ones that went before this procession as Christ came down to this cursed city told him to hush, but he didn't stop them. He cried the louder, Hey, Son of David, have mercy on me. My God, that's the way you find God, folks, by crying out. He'll go right on by if you don't be the one that gets His attention. What gets His attention is when you say, Lord, I'm sorry for the way I've lived. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin, too long I've tried. Lord, I'm coming home. Praise God. Boy, that reached the ears of Jesus. And he stopped, and he commanded him to be brought near him, and he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He didn't just